The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talk the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
Let's just start with our initial reactions to Arkansas and Alabama. 65-31 was the final score. I don't think it was necessarily a super surprise to see Alabama score that many points. I didn't think they would, but I definitely knew they were capable of doing that, as they just have an offense that is a machine. There's no weakness. Tua did Tua things. The guy threw four touchdowns, only completed 10 passes, and had 334 yards. So if you're doing your math, that's roughly around 34 yards per completion for Tua. And he was just setting the world on fire. And, of course, there was just no answer for him or this offense. But I think the big storyline, at least for Razorback fans, was seeing the offense, which we've seen how bad they struggled so far this year. In certain games, they didn't even look like an SEC offense, a competent offense. Maybe not even a Mountain West offense. It looked like they had so many issues that they could not keep it together. They could not block. They could not run the ball effectively. They couldn't figure out the quarterback position. They just couldn't get it done. The play calling was bad. Everything was just bad. And then you go into Alabama, and you score 31 points against the Crimson Tide. Now, I understand that some people may bring that up and say, well, you know, that last touchdown, it was in garbage time, and okay, fine, whatever. But it doesn't go away from the fact that at the end of three quarters, you had 17 points on Alabama. And I think that was the one takeaway that everybody had was just, wow, is this the type of offense that Chad Morris is really wanting to get to? It's not perfect. It's not elite. But is this what it's supposed to look like? Is this the type of success it's supposed to have against really good teams? Is this the play call? Is this what it is? And this is what it's supposed to be. And I think when you look at it and you saw that, it gave you a little encouragement. Of course, the defense didn't play well. You get that. But you've seen the defense play well this year, but you're waiting on when the offense was going to get it together. And I was, for one, shocked that Arkansas put up 31 points against Alabama and looked pretty good doing it in a lot of different drives. There weren't just, oh, Alabama fumbled on their own 10-yard line and so you had a short field. There wasn't any of that. You had drives. You had good play calling. You had good plays. You had great play by Rakeem Boyd, who rushed for 100 yards on Alabama. And I don't know if y'all knew this, but that's the first time an Arkansas running back has run for over 100 yards on Alabama since Darren McFadden. It's been that long. So you've had some good things. Ty Story, 25 of 39, 230 yards, two touchdowns, did throw one interception. But he looks a lot more comfortable, and he looks like the guy. I mean, just all of these things going into it. Bringing in Cole Kelly to be the steamboat package or whatever, throwing jump passes.
The offense, just like Tebow.
No, he's basically get him up in the Heisman. But all these things going together, it's got to make you feel a little bit encouraged, which is such a weird thing to say when you get blown out by 34 points.
Say, let me bring in the bucket of water here. You're still no closer. You're still no closer to beating Alabama.
Nope. You're nowhere. You're not closer than what you've ever have been. Period.
On the scoreboard, you're maybe further away. You still lost by 34 points. Can't lose that in the conversation. Yeah, you did some great things. I'm with you. Everything you said's accurate. Totally agree with you. At the end of the day, a lot of positive things happen that you can build on, and I'm expecting SEC wins. You scored 31 points. You didn't embarrass yourself. And there's a lot of good things to build on for the last six games of the year. But you're no closer to beating Alabama today than you were, you know, the last 11 tries. Bielema had better shots at it. And you lost by 34. So, I mean, there's still the cold bucket of water, the cold dose of reality that you still lost by 34. You're no closer to beating Alabama. And I wonder how, I mean, Saban will say Saban things. He'll say the right coach's thing, the right cliche. How seriously was Alabama taking Arkansas in their preparation leading up to this game? How seriously did they take Arkansas during this game? I mean, I think Arkansas did some things to surprise them. I don't think they expected Arkansas to be able to move the ball and pass the ball as effectively as they did, for Boyd to be able to run the ball as effectively as they did. I think Arkansas made some really nice strides offensively. That was the big surprise. I guess for me, the other big surprise was how defensively they had some breakdowns just in fundamentals. I mean, yeah, I expected Alabama to kind of do what they wanted to, but 639 yards or whatever it was, 600-plus yards? Really?
And it could have been a lot more if they wanted it to be.
That I didn't expect.
Yeah. I mean, Alabama could have scored over 80 points if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing whatever they wanted to offensively.
But 639 yards on 59 plays.
It's pretty efficient.
59. Yeah, 10.8 a play, you think? You think that's efficient?
It's not bad. It's not bad. In fact, it was funny.
I mean, when you give up 76 on the first one out of the box, you thought, oh, boy. Now that, you know, this program has had its Achilles heel. You know, with Bielema, it was you'd gag away third and fourth quarter leads. It was really the whole second half would turn into just a bleep show. And then Morris gets here, and early in this season, it turned into, well, you'd let it slip away from you in the fourth quarter. That's what happened at Colorado State, and that kind of became the talk and the narrative. Now, all of a sudden, you hadn't had a chance to really give away anything in the fourth quarter because the games haven't been the last few weeks that competitive that late. But now it's turned into first play of the game stuff, first minute of the game stuff. So now you got to go fix that because you can't start games off the way they've been starting games off the last few weeks. So it's always something that, you know, it's like whack-a-mole. You fix one problem over here, you got to go over here and fix the other thing that's popped up. Because they've got at least the last 2 weeks, if you think that's consistent in a 12-game season, I'll side with you that that's consistent when you have it back-to-back weeks in a 12-game season. You've given up some kind of massive, huge chunk play at the very beginning of the game. A&M, we know about the kick return. Obviously, Saturday, 76 yards on a really tricky play. Naked bootleg right.
Never seen that one before.
To not the fastest guy on the team.
The tight end.
Yeah. So there's, is that an issue, or is it coincidence, or is it an issue that they're not ready to go mentally?
That's a fair question, because there's no doubt that in the beginning of these games, I don't think it would have mattered in against Alabama if you would have stopped them on 3-and-out. They still would have beaten you pretty handily. But it's just when you see the consistency, like you say, every single beginning of the game, whether it's a kickoff, whether it's a first or second offensive play, whatever it is, and it's just like, there he goes.
Yeah.
You're just like, just why?
All the air's out of the balloon.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm with you.
Here it comes.
I mean, I don't think it changes the outcome of anything. I'm a full believer that A&M, they get the ball down there a week ago, and they get it first and 10 at the 27-yard line. They probably go on a 8 or 9 play, 77-yard drive or whatever and score. I think Alabama gets the ball instead of a 1-play 76-yard drive. It would have been a 6 or 7 play 76-yard drive. I believe there was not going to be a 3-and-out. I don't believe there was going to be a couple of first downs and a punt. I do believe Alabama was going to score on that drive at some point. You just helped them score on the first play rather than the 8th play. So I don't believe you dramatically changed the landscape of the game by allowing that score there. However, in these games where you have a chance, a real chance to win, and maybe A&M you did, you can't be doing that kind of stuff. Coming up against Ole Miss, I believe you have a real chance to win this game. Vanderbilt, real chance to win the game. LSU, and who knows after what happened down there in the Swamp. Boy, did we all get that one wrong. We'll talk about that later.
Yes, but yes, we will.
We knew something was up. We just couldn't figure out what it was. But 5 of the last 6, you got a real chance to win the game. Now, you may still be an underdog, but you got a real chance to win the game. And I'll still say LSU right now, you don't have a chance. I don't think you match up. Your X's and their O's don't match up. Other than that, I think Arkansas, based on what I've seen, has a real chance to win five of the last six. I'm not saying they're going to win five of six. I'm just saying you should have a chance to win five of six. So maybe you win three. But you're not going to win three doing that garbage.
No, you're not. You can't have it. You can't have
because
it because
the edge you might, you only have an edge. To stay in the game, you can't be giving up that kind of stuff.
No. Against Ole Miss this weekend, you can't be giving up first play from scrimmage for Ole Miss.
Correct.
Boom, 80-yard touchdown.
And then all the atmosphere, all the excitement, all the energy you're going to have.
Gone.
That War Memorial Stadium with the 22,000 there. I'm kidding, Ty.
I knew it was coming. I was just waiting on it.
There will be 41,000 there. All of that energy will be out the window. Back out on the golf course, shotgun and beers.
Yep. You'll see a full-fledged sprint right back out. Like, well, screw this. We're done.
Yep.
I mean, but you can't, and again, you can't
get me a Natty Light and a match to burn a couch. I'm back on the golf course.
They'll be right back out there, too. So, but, yeah, you can't have those plays, and it's going to kill you at some point. And Ole Miss, that's the one team that the team coming up that you feel like you have a legit shot of beating, getting your first SEC win, but you're not going to do it if you keep giving up those big plays in the very beginning of the game.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
So welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How you doing this morning, man?
Doing superb, man. Happy to be on with you guys.
Hey, we're happy to have you on, man. There's a lot to get to, especially with Arkansas and Alabama over the weekend. Arkansas loses 65-31. It's a 34-point loss, but yet you have this weird feeling that there's some positives and there's some things to build off of. Did you get that same vibe that there were some things coming out of this game that Arkansas can really build on top of?
Well, I mean, there's no question. When you put up the most points and yardage against Alabama all year and you expose a few things, I mean, they did some things that gave Alabama trouble, and they had a 100-yard rusher. And if you take away the fumbles, even if you include the fumble, this was basically a coming-out party for Ty Story, because earlier in the season, Colorado State game, some of the others, he couldn't have performed like this, or he didn't. And in this one, he played with confidence. He liked the scheme, and he felt like these plays were going to work, and they did, especially the tight end screen over the middle. And they moved the ball. They converted 6-12 third downs, which they had not done against weaker defenses. So, a lot of things to build on, and I think Arkansas fans can now see the direction the program's going, the way the offense is going, and if you can get the defense back playing the way it was earlier in the season, it looks like there could be victories on the horizon this year.
The team rushed for 172 net yards on 31 attempts, including 102 of those yards by Rakeem Boyd, who carried it 15 times. First Razorback in quite a while, I think since McFadden, to get more than 100 yards on Alabama. You talk about coming out parties, I think Rakeem Boyd had his as well on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. It's not easy to do that against this Alabama defense. And, the blocking held up. Ty Story was stacked one time. They did not give up on the run game. And I think in some of these other losses Arkansas has had to Alabama over the last 12 years, they felt like, well, we're not going to be able to run. And they weren't getting much on first downs, and so they were passing a lot. And, Austin Allen had passed for 400 yards in the 2016 game. But in this game, they didn't give up on the run. And even though there was some negative plays and some zero yardage and stuff like that, Boyd broke off a couple of long ones, and Ty Story ran the ball pretty well too. So, I mean, again, it's another step that looks like they're going in a direction that fans can see and appreciate, and I'm expecting a pretty good showing for the Ole Miss game on Saturday.
You note the blocking up front. It wasn't without some injury and problems in the game. Froholt and Brian Wallace had to leave the game at moments, came back, but still, some injuries up front. We saw some younger players step in. Your thoughts on what happened with that offensive line and some of the players that came in their place?
Right. Well, I think they just played a little more physical. They believed in the scheme. And even though there was some pressure on Ty Story, he was navigating that pocket like a veteran. Did you notice how many times mm-hmm. he just moved up and kept his eyes downfield or moved laterally and hit receivers? I mean, that touchdown pass he threw to Devion Warren in the third or fourth quarter, that was a bullet, and he was on the move, and he threw it across his body, and it was only where Deion Stewart could get it. And it was, I mean, not Deion Stewart, Devion Warren. And you're like, wow. I mean, they've got something going here. So, I thought for Brian Wallace, and it's an ankle tweak. Not sure we'll hear more from Chad Morris on that today, but Dalton Wagner came in and I think played pretty well for him. Austin Katz came in and played pretty well for Jelte Froholt. Everything offensively pretty much is something to build on. Now, the next phase is being able to protect long enough to get some deeper routes going and hit some deeper throws. And I think Ty Story only threw behind the receiver once. He had Mike Woods on a little crosser and threw behind him that would have been for decent yardage. But otherwise, clearly the best offensive performance of the year from the line and everyone else.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Tom, Arkansas is now through their midway point of the season, 1-5. It's probably not what most people expected them to be, but that's where they're at right now. And with all the positives, it was the toughest stretch of their schedule. The rest of their schedule, a little more favorable, still have some tough matchups. But from what you've seen so far from Arkansas, as well as the other teams that Arkansas is going to be playing the rest of the way, how many more wins could you see Arkansas reeling off the rest of the way, even though they're sitting at 1-5?
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night. The LSU game is going to be hard, but I think you can project yourself into the rest of the games, starting with Ole Miss on Saturday and including road games against Mississippi State and Missouri to close out this year. You can project them to be in the game, okay? And then you look at the Vanderbilt game and say, okay, that's a game the Razorbacks should win. They're at home. They've got some things going for them. Vandy's struggling a little bit. And the thing is, you can't get back the games that you felt like you gave away. I mean, just a totally weird, lackluster performance against North Texas and then blowing a big lead in a game at Colorado State that would have, that would have been kind of a milestone, road victory in his first game. But you can't get them back. But what they've done a really good job is focusing on not worrying about what the record says and just getting a little better. And I'm seeing more buy-in. You see it on social media. You see it in the interviews we have with the players. The fact that the fans, thanked them or applauded them for their effort coming off the field, that means something to those guys. And I think they're going to – they've won 5 in a row or 4 in a row against Ole Miss, whatever it is. I think they'll go into Saturday thinking they can knock off the Rebels again.
What was your assessment of this past Saturday's defensive performance? 639 yards, obviously the 65 points. Now, you're playing the best offense in the country, but – there were certainly times where the fundamentals seemed to break down for John Chavis's unit. Was it some of both? You're playing the best and you didn't play your best? What was your assessment of Saturday's defensive performance by the Razorbacks?
Well, my overall take was that Alabama's team speed was the biggest thing on display in that game, and particularly on offense and particularly with Jerry Jeudy and the tight end. I mean, we know that DeJuan Harris is a heck of a linebacker, is a great linebacker, but in that first matchup of the game, Irv Smith with a little out route or drag route, Dijon just, there was separation there, and once he made the catch, he got around the edge. Now, our paper showed clearly a holding call on Jarquez McClellan on the front page on Sunday. And what Alabama and A&M, Alabama's grabby on both sides of the ball. They just are. And when you're the powerhouse and you're the marquee team and all, it just seems like that's not seen as much as the teams that are trying to build and all. But anyway, that went for a touchdown. And I think they got out of their gaps a few times, but mostly it was a marksman quarterback who's completely comfortable and in tune with what they're doing offensively, combined with a bunch of good running backs, a good offensive line, and receivers that get open. And so versus man or versus zone, they just found spots, and Tua put the ball there, and it was the after the catch. That's why he averaged 33 yards per reception, which is just a crazy number. And you know what? It's another huge challenge from Jordan to Amu on Saturday. And I think we're going to see a better performance out of the Razorbacks on that one.
Tom, before I let you get out of here, just I want to ask you about Alabama. You've watched a lot of college football. You've seen a lot of great teams. Where does Alabama rank just from what you've seen now in person among all the great teams that you've watched in your history of covering college football?
Well, I don't think it's the best Alabama team we've seen in the last decade. Now, it might be the best quarterback from the last decade, and it might be the best collection of receivers, but there's some deficiencies on defense, and Nick Saban pointed that out. In fact, what did he say? That it doesn't even feel like a victory when you give up 31 points. And, you know, at linebacker, I think there's some depth issues. You know, there were some guys who were either lost focus or, you know, got beat physically on some plays, and they've got a long way to go there, but it looks to me like they can get out, get in another shootout with a Clemson or an Ohio State, give up points, but also score a lot on their side of the ball, too. So I'm not saying that they can't win the national championship. I just don't think the overall Alabama package is quite as strong as some of the others in the last 12 years.
Does anyone stay within 14 of them in the regular season?
Well, you know, the Auburn game's at home. It would be pretty difficult. They're not playing Georgia. So, you know, Missouri with its big-time offense, that'll be fun to see what they can do coming up on Saturday. But I don't know. I think it would be difficult for a team to stay within two touchdowns of them in the SEC the rest of the way. Now, I'll let you. You never know what's going to happen in that game.
Yeah, they're certainly going to be a tough team to overcome, that is for sure. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, always appreciate you joining us, Tom, man. Looking forward to catching up with you on Thursday, my man.
Hey, man, sounds great. And go Braves!
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run! They won't catch him! Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house! Touchdown, Arkansas! 80 yards!
Now that we're at the halfway point of the season for Arkansas, six games in, they're sitting at 1-5. I don't think anybody would have expected it to be 1-5. Maybe 3-3, best case scenario. 2-4, maybe, but definitely not 1-5.
Nope.
And that's where they're sitting at right now. So obviously things have not gone completely well for the Razorbacks as well as they would have liked and as well as fans would have liked. But I do want to address and look at certain position groups and certain aspects of this team and just kind of give them a midseason grade. Say what we thought about as far as the expectations going into it and what we think about them right now. And we can do the offense, and if time permitting, we can do the defense and special teams, which will be interesting as well there on the other side of the break. But I just want to, we'll start with the offense and start with the quarterback position, not necessarily just Ty Story or Cole Kubiak, but just overall the quarterback position. Well, what grade do you give them so far this year?
We've really only seen two. I know Connor Nolan and John Stephen Jones to play, but can you really grade those guys? I mean, to me, it would be totally unfair to even assess what we've seen from them. So let's just set those two guys aside. Is that right, Tyler? I mean,
I don't think they're the only
two quarterbacks we need to talk about for midseason grades would be Ty Story and Cole Kelly at this point. And obviously, both have had some issues, and both have had some positives at this point. I think the biggest issue with quarterback play has been the fact that we thought this was really good, that you were having a quarterback battle in August.
No.
And boy, has that turned out to be the worst thing that has happened, right? In hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
That these guys are battling it out, and the coaches are really grading and assessing everything from how they tie their shoelaces to how they chew their gum. Well, if they'd have picked one maybe the first week of practice, maybe this team would have been further along the tracks. And that's really, to me, what has set the quarterback play back further at this point in the year than what it could have been.
You could say that Ty Story's progression could be 50% better right now. Because if they split the reps.
Or Cole Kelly's,
or
maybe.
Cole Kelly's. But, you know, I think they finally got the right guy.
I don't disagree with you.
And I think if this decision was made 3 months ago, you've got a totally different football team right now. And I think you probably have two or three more wins on your calendar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the grade I gave him is about a D+. Just because of basing it off of what everything. And maybe I'm being too harsh there. But I agree with you that if Ty Story would have played a lot more.
Well, here's the challenge. And I was thinking about this. How is it hard? Yeah, I mean, how is it hard to see what we're seeing? We saw one of the better performances from a quarterback that we've seen against Alabama in 10 years in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, this guy wasn't even on the radar with the previous staff. Gave him zero credit. And then this staff really didn't believe in him. But yet he gets hit in the face a few times, and then the character comes out. The grit comes out. Yeah. You know, some you can't see that. That's what's hard about coaching quarterbacks is those guys never get hit in practice. You don't see what kind of guy he becomes.
You can't prepare for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Until he gets in the game.
See, did you say D as in
D plus? Yeah.
And you know about D's, don't you?
You know, Tommy, there's a lot of ways I can take
I was
that
about
remark.
To say,
I think that's
one D or two D's.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's coming from a guy that's 7.5 years into his master's degree. I think
I'm glad you went back to school.
Yes, please.
Instead of
that, I think that is a little harsh. I think they've, because of what Tyler brought up there, the toughness and the grit and the fact that you've had two different quarterbacks play. It's not an A. It's probably not a B.
Yeah.
I think a D is a little harsh on the grade. And I would say a C at this point is, for me, the proper grade. Yeah. I don't know if it's C+, but it's. I think a D is a little harsh on the grade.
Yeah.
I mean, too many interceptions to give it any higher than that. Too many turnovers. Too many bad decisions. And we saw Ty, we were talking about the throwback across the field this week. I mean, there's still some growing that's got to go on. But I like the grit. I like the toughness that Ty Story has shown at this point.
Yeah. I think in the quarterback room today, Joe Craddock gives Ty Story a grade for Alabama. We're still sitting here giving him a lot of praise for a good game, and I did think he made so much progression. And, you know, I criticized the offense saying, you know, it takes time to figure it out, mature the quarterback, and this goes as a quarterback goes, as does a lot of offenses. But you're seeing the time under center, the experience all start to play in now. Regardless of what the talent margin is, you're still seeing some progression.
Quarterback play cost them the North Texas game. Is that fair?
No question.
I mean, I don't think you can really sum it up any other way.
Yeah. No, it certainly did.
So, I mean, you got to downgrade them at least a full letter on that, and it wasn't an A to begin with.
But I think Joe Craddock, even as good as we feel like Ty Story's performance was on Saturday, probably gives Ty Story a B-plus performance in the quarterback room. And I go back to two or three throws. You know, you had the boot right, throwback to the left, and you've got a guy as wide open as you're going to ever get him in college or NFL football. And my goodness, you know, I think Ty goes, I just can't miss him, you know. Mm-hmm. But you see the break and
the closing speed
is good. But yeah. you can't throw the lollipop there. You gotta you know, let it go. And, you know, I think if he had any throw to have back, he'd have that one. And then I think there was one, the play before the touchdown in the end zone, we have a little switch release, and he's got the tight end, you know, wide open in the end zone, and we throw it out of bounds. The next play, he makes up for it and throws a beautiful corner route for a touchdown. You know, but there's certainly a couple throws back, and then obviously the fumble as well on the one. But I mean, if you've only got three plays to, you know, really – you know, analyze as at the quarterback position for the week. I mean, I think that's a good performance. You're just playing Alabama. You need to have zero. that's unfortunately where you're at.
But through the first half of the year, I'd say a solid C at this point.
All right. What about the running back position?
You'd have to go a B. There's been too many games where you haven't had. I mean, I think this midterm exam you just had on Saturday is bonus points. So I would say B or B plus based on the fact that you got 172 yards of rushing against Alabama. But you've had some games where you didn't fare so well in running the football. And you've done it without Devwall Whaley the last couple of games.
Boyd.
And Rakeem Boyd has stepped up. So you're very talented there. I've got a B, B plus.
Yeah, that's fair. Particularly
when you're doing it behind an offensive line. We didn't get to that, but an offensive line that struggled.
Yeah. Well, I gave him a B-. I mean, just because there are some things. And again, I think it's a lot to do with the offensive line and the lack thereof. But I think that really what Rakeem Boyd has come on and done in the past few games has really helped him out a lot. And I think it's also helped out Ty Story in the quarterback position, too, just alleviating some of that. But that's a fair assessment, too. And it's right there. Okay, so let's talk about wide receivers after that, because this is also something that's relying a lot more on the quarterback position. What grade you give the wide receivers?
I'm going to let Tyler go for it. He's got the expertise on this.
I don't want to come out and say anything above a B. I think that's probably a C+.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, it's probably similar to quarterback play. Tommy gave quarterbacks a C. You know, it's hard to hard to give the wide receivers anything better than the C if the quarterback's grades, you know, only C. Because you go as the quarterback goes, and the quarterback goes as the wide receiver goes. That's something that goes hand in hand. So, you know, I think that's probably a C right now as well. You know, I think the third play of the game was hurry up, get to the line of scrimmage, and we throw a bubble screen out. We've got him out flanked, and your speed should be able to kick in there, and it didn't kick in. They had better speed at the linebacker and slot defender position than we had, you know, at the wide receiver. But I just, there's little things like that that I think with speed, with talent, with in time will really benefit Chad Morris' offense. Right now, we're kind of stuck in the mud from a talent perspective. I think there's a couple players we get that totally change the dynamic. So I give us a C+ probably.
Are tight ends their own thing, or tight ends lumped in with wide receivers?
I thought about that.
Could change my opinion here.
I thought about that, and I made them separate. I was going to do the tight end position separately.
I mean, C.J. O'Grady had 7 receptions for 48 yards. Is he a wide receiver, or is he a tight end? I mean,
I classify those guys two different things, and I think,
I mean, because that would change your grade on wide receivers if you're lumping them all in. They're not. He's not really a wide receiver.
Yeah, I did them separately.
But if you're going to just say receivers, he's in that group.
Well, this is why I really think this is because Bielema recruited so well with tight ends, mm-hmm. that Chad Morris is going, well, how do I use these guys? Because I don't have the wide receivers that I need right now to get the ball in their hands to make plays. So we've got these guys that can catch, and we can use them. Ideally, I think 3 years from now, that tight end number, what we saw today, is nowhere mm-hmm. near it. But it's what you've got now, so you're trying to use them. I've just never been a fan of getting a 255, 265-pound guy that runs a 4.8. The ball in space. That makes a lot little sense to me. So we're dialing up, you know, screens to tight ends. Well, their yards after catch are going to be minimal. You know, so we're using them because we have to use them right now.
Because they're your better football players.
And your grade increases. Yeah, you look at your tight end, go, yeah, they're probably a B+ or or above. But
I mean, O'Grady had 7 grabs for 48. Boyd was the next highest on receiving. 5 for 24 mm-hmm. as far as reception, number of receptions. Right. 5 as far as targets and where they're going. So mm-hmm.
So your top 2 wide receivers are actually...
I'm just saying that downgrades my thoughts on wide receivers. And I know that's just one game, but I think if you go back and you examine all the box scores and you look at it, you're still struggling to find the playmakers as wide receivers.
Yeah,
I think you're seeing a lot of... And as we thought going into the year, tight ends, running backs are your better football players on the offensive side, so you're going to see the quarterbacks, and now at this point, Ty Story, target those guys more often.
And Craddock have to draw stuff up to him, even though maybe that's not as ideal.
And you saw Bielema do that early in his time because you had guys like Hunter Henry, you know, that better football player.
Got to get
it in his hands.
Yeah, and with the tight end position, I went for a B as well, just because I felt like what Cheyenne O'Grady has been able to do is he's really upped and really helped out the passing game, which was much needed. So very high there. Okay, and then the last one before we get out of here, the big one, offensive line.
Well, I mean, I don't want to pick on anybody. I mean, it's just it is what it is.
I know, but just from what your expectation was, this is what it's about, what you thought it was going to be to what it's at right now.
Well, okay, if you're going to go that way, I'm going to go an A. I mean, because I thought it was going to be a disaster. Okay, I'll go B+, just to be real. I mean, it's been better than I thought it would be, but I didn't expect much. So if we're going to go based on expectation to what we've seen, it's been much better than I thought it would be.
No, my grades are based on where we are and where we need to be to win the kind of football games we hope to win. And, you know, so that's how I was grading. But I think, you know, the expectation here is very similar or maybe even probably better than expected.
Yeah.
Nobody expected to come out against Alabama and do what we've done. Offensive line-wise, you held yourself against Alabama. You didn't see tremendous amount of pressure, and you didn't see Ty Story getting hit. Like, I mean, there was no discoloration on the jersey. I know we're playing on turf, so don't throw that in my direction. But my point is he wasn't absolutely just getting
rocked
out there on Saturday.
Yeah.
So there was functionality on the offensive line.
So let me ask you, if you were grading off the way that you were saying it, Tyler, as far as, you know, where you need to be and what you're at right now, what would the offensive line be?
Well, I think to be in a bowl game, I think to annually be in a bowl game, you need to have all position groups be serviceable at a B. I mean, you need to be a B+ at or a B at all position groups. Now, you know, C minus at worst. But I think, you know, obviously Alabama, you probably rank every position group at an A plus right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got two or three of those five position groups at C right now.
Yeah. It's better. I think my old man Ruskin said it best. You know, a thousand pound man loses 300 pounds, he's still 700 pounds. You know, it's great he lost 300 pounds. The offensive line's better. Started out 1,000 pounds, lost 300 pounds, still 700 pounds. They got a long ways to go on the offensive line.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.